T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Henley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
It feels really good. I mean, obviously, it's been a long time. There's a ton of history around Loyola basketball. The 1963 team and the 1985 team was really good, too. It takes a lot. It's been a really long time, but the thing that makes it even more special for us to be the team that has made it to the NCAA tournament is we've brought like the buzz back around the campus. Basketball is important again around the campus and the community.
You start talking about the first four in, first four out, and that starts happening so early. And everything they heard was we weren't in. We had to win the tournament. So we kept on talking about having these blinders on and just focusing in on us, our locker room, what we could control. And then we went into the tournament. We won the league, then we went into the tournament. It was the same thing. We didn't talk about the at-large bid. We didn't talk about that.
I'm going to invoke some midnight madness in this collegiate crapshoot by riding a pair of 12 seeds. Among my first round selections, they would be Davidson over Kentucky and New Mexico over Clemson. Wishful thinking, I'm sure. I'm also picking two 11s, play-in winner St. Bonaventure over Florida and Loyola Chicago over Miami. The Ramblers then will topple Tennessee in a second round surprise.
And then you look at Chicago. What's going on in Chicago?
Mully and Henley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to the fine Clayton Custer, the point guard from Loyola. You heard Porter Moser, you heard Boomer, and you heard the president. So a lot of people
Little Rocket Man
wondering about Loyola.
Kevin Zipak and Ray Diaz.
And let's get out to John Crispin. He, of course, with the Big Ten Network, doing studio work for Westwood One on the tournament. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Look, can anybody complain? I mean, this is the best time of year, although it's the beginning of the end for me, and then I go back into hibernation where no one cares about me anymore.
Well, let's start the conversation. We played the Loyola stuff coming in, and I'm a Loyola alum. I just am a little worried that too many people are on board now. You know what I mean? Like, I'd prefer it if the public was against them and they were the ultimate underdog. But they've been found out, and now hopefully Miami isn't listening. But I don't know. What do you make of that game?
Look, Miami's good, but they're limited too. And some of their youth from some of their best players is one of the issues. Well, Lonnie Walker's a fantastic player, but he's young. And sometimes that gets teams like Miami into trouble. Now, the problem is they play in the ACC, which there's no easy game throughout the conference season. So that forces you to play at a high level or maintain a high level, much like the Big Ten on any given year. So I think that's going to be the biggest challenge is you're dealing with length, athleticism at another level, at a high major level. And this is not a Loyola team that scores a ton of points. So I think the mid-major upsets that everyone looks for, the teams that score like 85 points a game, 86, 88 points a game, because those are the teams that could go off even against a high major. So they're going to have to defend. I mean, they're going to have to play well. And let's be honest, analysts like myself don't know that much. I mean, I'm going to clear the air here. We don't know that much. We'll talk about stats and a guy that's going to go out and get his in the NCAA tournament. The truth is there's too many variables to get it all right. It just comes down to comfort. Are you on the floor comfortable doing what you guys need to do to win? And that's what gives you an opportunity to win. It doesn't mean you win the basketball game. It just means that you have a chance to be in that basketball game. So I look for the first 5 minutes to see if some of these mid-majors, a team like Loyola, can be comfortable on the floor.
Let me ask you this, John. When you look at the four Big Ten representatives, a lot of Big Ten people would wish that there was a normal six or seven, but that you have the four. But a lot of people believe that two or three of the four can make a run to the Final Four. And Michigan was on such a roll, and now, for the first time, you have the extra week break between the conference championship and the actual NCAA game. So is Michigan going to be their nine-game win streak? Is that going to be sustainable with Wagner? Or whose stock are you buying, basically? Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan? Who's your guy? Michigan State, Izzo time?
I think it's Michigan. I really do. And I think it comes down to the messaging that you as a coach kind of put on your team. And what I mean by messaging is you have to sell them on why this break has been good. You can't say, I'm not sure what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to handle this. You have to come out and say, look, this is good for us because we had a condensed season. And this is me being my salesman. This is what I would say. We had a condensed season, guys. We've only been able to prepare for our opponents because of these one-day preps and because of this condensed season and then the quick turnaround for the Big Ten tournament. Now, we've got 10 days to focus on ourselves, to get better, so that when we get to the NCAA tournament, we've improved upon the things that we need to be able to do. We've gotten better in terms of our offensive sets and action. We've gotten better in terms of being able to cover ball screens around the perimeter. So we've gotten better at the things that we need to do to be able to make a run. So, yeah, win streak is great, but it's even better that in the NCAA tournament, we feel like we're going to be able to improve. So I think it comes down to that messaging, and John Beilein is going to have it. For Michigan State, as much as I like them, they've shown how youthful they are. And it's a Michigan team that's gotten better every single week, whereas Michigan is taking a step forward, taking a step back, taking a few steps forward, taking a couple steps back, and haven't been able to put together 40 minutes of good basketball. And I think that could be their demise in a really tough Midwest region.
It's fascinating that the tournament starts with Oklahoma against the Roadies, Rhode Island. And you know, everybody loves Rhode Island in that game because everybody says that that Oklahoma and Trae Young don't belong in the tournament. They're only in the tournament because of Trae Young. I last time I checked, Lamar Odom is gone. Rhode Island does not have that that player, but they are a good team. I'm not saying they're not, but if it comes down to how you determine pace of play, Trae Young will do that. I think this is a great game to get the tournament going.
It sure is, especially considering the fact that it's perfect for our society where we like to build people up so much and then tear them down. And that's the season for Trae Young.
Yep.
Like, we were so hyped about Trae Young. Oh, he's the best thing ever. Whatever open that you're doing, if you have an Oklahoma game, it's going to be all about Trae Young. And then it's like, oh, how dare he shoot every time? He's terrible. What a bad teammate. And then they'd fall off the face of the earth. And now it's almost like we want to see Britney Spears come back again. You know, it's kind of where we're at. I mean, it's a societal thing. It's comical to me where it's like we build up a celebrity, tore him down, and now we're like, it'd be nice to see him come back. The dude's still like 19 years old, though. So it's kind of funny, but I do think this is an Oklahoma win. I really do. Because I feel like at this point, they had the come-to-Jesus moment where it's like, Trae, you can't just shoot every time. Get everybody involved early, and then it makes it easier on you for the rest of the game. So I think they've learned a lot in that process, and this is a new season. That's the best thing about the NCAA tournament for teams that came in, probably not even deserving to be here, considering they lost, you know, 8 of their last 10 games. I mean, that's awful. That's atrocious. So they probably don't deserve to be here, but they can look back and go, hey, let's be November to January, Oklahoma. Let's not be January to March, because November to January, we're really good. And this is the opportunity to do it.
Ohio State is everybody's surprise team, right? No one had them being the team they ended up being, and Bates Diop being the best, maybe arguably the best player in the conference. But is anyone paying attention to Purdue and what they have going on?
You know, it's funny. Purdue's a team that everyone likes to pick against in the NCAA tournament because of history.
Right.
And I would say that history, yes, I get it. The problem is they're not that team anymore. Now, if it turns out that they lose, I'll probably say that I never said this, but I think this is the type of team that could make a run because they're guard dominated now. It's no more of this, you know, the old identity for Purdue was throw the ball inside and everybody stand and watch your big man go to work and be physically superior in that regard. Well, that didn't work last year. Well, we saw that happen in the NCAA tournament where they just threw it into Biggie Swanigan and they all just stood around. It was almost as if they're saying, oh, please win the game for us. Well, that's not what's going to make them a good team. So they're playing through Carson Edwards now, and that's what makes you successful in the NCAA tournament. If you have a guard who can go the way Carson Edwards can go, you're going to have success in the NCAA tournament. So if he's the guy and it's not just feed Isaac Haas, I think Purdue has a chance to make a run, and that Villanova matchup doesn't scare me as much as a lot of people think.
Do you think when we look at the Big Ten that we'll be measuring whether or not the time off damaged them or helped them? And if we determine it helped them, will other teams try to follow suit? Will other conferences try to follow suit? Will the Big Ten try to follow suit? If it ends up everybody wins and has a nice time in the tournament, they believe it's because of the time off, wouldn't that be something to kind of weigh and evaluate?
I think it would, but it's impossible to do. Like, for the Big Ten, we're going to a 20-game conference season next year. So right. There's no way you could condense it even more yet get 20 games in. And for other conferences, you're talking about money. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So you don't want to take that extra week, give that extra week away. If anything, you'd want to play more games. I mean, I think what the Big Ten's doing next year, going to a 20-game conference season, that's going to be what everyone mimics. So regardless of whether we could have four teams in the Final Four and we still wouldn't see it because the logistics of it just don't work. Not unless you move up the start of the regular season to the first week of November, which, who knows, that's probably a possibility too. So it's really what it comes down to. There are logistics, but then there's the dollar part of it. And the dollar part of it would tell you, I don't care how much it worked, we still got games to be played, which means money to be made.
John, thanks a ton. We appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, my pleasure. Enjoy it.
Thanks, John.
That's John Crispin from the Big Ten Network. 312-644-6767 is the number. You're listening to Mully and Hanley on Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 to score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Oh, my goodness gracious. The fine folks, Tavern at the Park, have brought us breakfast this morning. I want to say a special thanks to Peter and Donnie. And my God,
There's breakfast, and then there's this.
This is a higher level of breakfast than I've had.
Their version of a Benedict, this is their Kentucky Wildcat Benedict. I mean, the bacon, the sauce, everything. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, Tavern at the Park is at the corner of Michigan and Randolph, 130 East Randolph. It's right next to Millennium Park, overlooks it. And they got great lunches and dinners, and now they have breakfast. Go ahead, say hello to Pete and Donnie and have a great breakfast. I mean, the food there is awesome. But this is one of the best breakfasts I've ever had.
Z, you enjoying the French toast? What are you having there? You having the Benedict?
My mouth is literally full of pancakes right now, so I'm speaking to a minimum.
That's a good idea. Thank you so much, guys, for a great breakfast.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what we got to do? I think we got to come up with a way. Like, I'm more than happy to go to breakfast there, buy someone a breakfast. We should meet a listener and have breakfast with them.
Sounds good.
Next week, one day. You're obviously not going to be here tomorrow. Because I want to go there every day, and I feel silly just being alone there or sitting with you.
Okay, and I just heard business expense. That's what I heard.
No, I'm happy to pay for it. I pay for mine and our listener, and you can go halvesies on the listener.
All right, I'm in.
Wouldn't that be a fun thing to do, have someone come down?
Let's take a couple listeners.
Take a couple?
Yeah.
Like, you mean a man and a woman or whatever a couple is?
It could be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm all over it.
No, I meant a couple listeners.
Oh, a couple of different listeners. Yeah. That's a good idea. I thought you were saying let's take a couple.
They could be.
Whoever is the happiest among all couples.
They might be when they leave.
Don't call in.
Yeah.
Because you're already too happy. But having serious problems with your partner, give us a call.
We'll work out the details over the weekend.
Yeah, we'll do that over the weekend. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's buy someone breakfast. That is just fantastic.
I could eat this every day.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. We'll start with Jeff on the north side. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. I'm going to sound a little bit like Eeyore calling you on the first day of the tournament today. But I grew up a huge college basketball fan. I grew up with the Fly and Illini, the Big Ten at its peak. And every year, I'm in my 40s now, it gets harder and harder to have enthusiasm when I see coaches like Bruce Pearl, Kelvin Sampson, cheaters, keeping on getting back in the game. I see the billions with a B, dollars, that are going to be made during this tournament.
And you know that maybe the winner of the tournament has to vacate that title.
But even that, it's all corrupt. The NCAA and the colleges and the networks, your network, make all this money.
Okay, now you've gone too far.
We're no longer CBS, Jeff. We're good.
Yeah, we're Undercom now.
You enjoy. Okay, not you. Yeah. But these kids are making all this money for everyone but themselves. They can't even get an agent while they're in college to prepare them.
And
to
that's
got to
change. That's got to change.
They'll change that. They're, you know, listen.
They keep saying that.
I know, but now they have to. Now they have
all
to.
All the money but a little.
Jeff, did you go to Illinois? I mean, are you in line?
I did.
Okay, see, and now.
And I don't know that that's the heyday of the Big Ten, but it was definitely the heyday of the Illini.
But if Illinois
2005 was pretty great too.
Yeah, if Illinois' basketball program was you know in the tournament each and every year like it used to be, would that change your way of approaching
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm sure it would. Let's try Bob. Bob is in Crystal Lake. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Molly. Bob Keen from Crystal Lake, and I'm a Loyola alumni. I was there in '85, and
great.
I'm married and miserable, so I'm ready to do breakfast with you today.
Wow. Oh, that's touch them
well,
all.
Well, there you go. That's fantastic.
Are you staying at the tavern to watch the game all day today?
It is my wife's birthday. I sadly, Bob, I'm happily married, and I want to continue to be. So I am going to be running around and solidifying some stuff that we got going, and I'm probably going to watch the game at home, hopefully with my wife. That's the problem she has being married to me.
Well, I'm happily married as well.
I'm so excited for the Ramblers. Yeah.
I can't remember. This is bringing me back to '85 with the Alfredo Hughes years.
Yes.
And it was just the campus was buzzing. I remember when they closed down Sheridan Road.
Yes.
They put a keg right in the middle of Sheridan Road. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Bob, go to Bruno's. I mean, Bruno's is still an active venture, right? Right on Sheridan Road there. I think they've got a place. Is it called Ireland's that's inside the building? I know for the students, they've got Centennial Forum is open, and they've got all sorts of stuff going on. You can watch the game there. I would head to, what's it called now, 63, the old Hamiltons, whatever. There's plenty of places around there to go watch a game. Bruno's would be my preferred spot because I always enjoyed myself there.
Do they have a bar on campus in like the student
union?
They do.
They do have one now. I think it's called Ireland's. I don't know if they're having any special viewing party, but it just would make sense.
Sure.
Wouldn't it?
Bruno's Lounge opens up at 10 o'clock, by the way.
Perfect. So. Bruno's Lounge.
And closes at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Or you go to Deuces, right? You go to Deuces.
Oh, go to Deuces. There you go.
3505 North Clark.
Yeah, we're having a
watch
score.
The game with Bernstein and Parkins.
Yeah,
Connor and
Neil. You know what's really funny? It's very funny because Dan Bernstein wrote a column earlier in the year where he talked about how with apologies to Loyola.
That was his lead, right?
He said something like, with apologies to Loyola, who no one follows anyway, or something like that. And then he took a shot at him. And it's like the Loyola message, like, where's Bernstein watching the game? People are like, that damaged people. He ruined lives with that comment. And
not that you remember it.
We'll get to that in crosstalk. No, I don't. It didn't ruin my life.
Remembers the lead.
But that did stand out.
I remember the morning. Yeah, the morning after it was on the website. Like a 5:03.
Molly, start the show. Apology not accepted.
It's like, hey.
I guess it did offend me.
Yeah, a little bit.
But they're in the tournament now, so Dan is forgiven. But be a great place to go watch the game. Huh? While Dan's on the air, what do you think?
Buy him a Dos Equis.
Who's in? Let's let Joe do his work. I'm sorry, buddy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe. This segment sponsored by CC's New Crust, New Sauce, New York Style Pizza. Now at CC's, grab an extra large slice of that meatball pepperoni pizza and the new cheesecake brownies. Do that for dessert. So much to love on the buffet. It's just five and change. It's only at CC's. Prices vary. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Bruce Levine is the Scores baseball expert. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Well, I'm running the first base all the time to make sure I stay in the game. That's a must. And
way to go, Charlie Hustle. Bobby, yeah,
Garcia had to learn that again yesterday. And to his credit, when we went to talk to him after he came out of the game, he was very remorseful. Said, flat out, this is my mistake. It can't happen. And I accept the responsibility for it. And so from that perspective, from last spring training on, guys, I've seen a different guy with the White Sox, a guy that's hustled all the time, a heads-up player. You saw it in the numbers last year with 1880, hitting .330, having a lot of assists, still having some problems in the outfield, but no attentive problems. And this was out of the ordinary. Hopefully it's just a minor glitch.
Well, it's a good thing that Rick Renteria is doing that and reinforcing it with a veteran guy with such a young group in camp. But when you talk about Avi, a lot of people are still going to wonder if that was a one-off, if that was the anomaly last year's season for him, or if he is a different player and we're going to see that more consistently, maybe not those same numbers. How's he looked in spring training other than the loaf to first base yesterday?
Looks fine. You know, I talked to a general manager and a scout from two different teams about him, and they said, yeah, you know, we kept our eye on him, and there's teams that have been interested a little bit in the offseason, but just like you guys said, they want to see it 2 years in a row before they make a move. So the White Sox really didn't have much activity on him from other teams. 2 years left, you know, he's making $6 million this year, all-star appearance last year. You know, you give him tremendous credit for what he did. But in the day of the where there's 110 teams or 110 players that hit over 20 home runs, you know, the 1880 really didn't excite that many people, even though he was second in the American League in batting average. So, again, he's going to have to show it a second year in a row.
Who's the fifth starter for the White Sox, Bruce? Do we know?
You are, Mike.
Yeah. Is it that simple?
Get that arm ready because, you know, Hector
Santiago.
You know, Santiago did not have a great start yesterday, but he is a seasoned guy. I watched Fulmer pitch, and, he's up in the zone. He has trouble completing pitches. I thought more damaging than the three home runs he gave up was some balls in the dirt and an 0-2 pitch to frames when he hit him. I thought this has been the problem for him this spring is just the lack of command of his pitches and not finding the proper arm slot. He's trying hard. You know, they have a lot of belief in him, but he's not ready. Now, there is 3 weeks left until the fifth starter is needed, okay? So there's time to improve on this, and you don't like to go by spring training, but you don't like to go necessarily by September where he was so good last year as well. So it's a toss-up right now. You know, Santiago is the guy with the experience, and he won't be afraid to go out there and challenge hitters. He's had some success, certainly, during his career. They'd love to see Fulmer do it. But if not, he has options. He can go back to AAA and do it. The other part what we've heard about since last fall is the possibility that he's a bullpen guy. And, you don't want a number one pick and a number eight overall to end up as a bullpen guy. But, you know, you try to find the most success for your team and your players, and if that's the case down the road, that'll do it. I think before that happens, Fulmer would go back to AAA and continue to try to be a starter.
Well, he certainly has the closer mentality of just flush it, and you know he's taking advantage of the opportunities. I mean, he looked like, you know, he talked as if he threw a no-hitter yesterday. How about the Sox? How about, you know, Rick Hahn and Renteria and Coop? Are they as laissez-faire about the spring this far? So far with
Fulmer? No, I mean, you have to be realistic about it. You don't want a guy to go out there and just get his ass kicked. I mean, that's what's happened most of the spring. Again, it's spring training. We know in Arizona the ball flies, that the breaking ball doesn't break as much as it has to. But, again, other people are getting people out. So from that perspective, he's got the results, forget about the results. The command of his pitches just aren't there right now. He needs more seasoning. He needs to be able to refine it. And if he can't get that done in the next couple weeks here with spring training ending basically a week from Sunday, then he'll go to AAA and he'll work on it there. And then Santiago will step up and fill that role.
Yeah, I think that when you start talking about what's going on in Arizona and there are a lot of factors like that, but people aren't putting up 18 ERA. You know, I mean, it's
no.
That's the problem.
It just hasn't been there for him. And yeah. He is a terrific kid to deal with. And as you guys mentioned very directly, he even though he got his butt kicked, he stood there proudly saying, you know, I did some good things. I still have to work on some things. There's still time for me to get this thing right. So the confidence is there. The command is certainly not right now.
We haven't really talked a lot about Addison Russell. And one of our texters at 670-11 said, you know, how's he looked and what's his spring been like? And, you know, it's interesting. I haven't really heard a lot from him or about him to this point.
Well, I'm glad you asked because he's reworked his throwing, and he's throwing from a not a sidearm, but kind of a push throw that has his ball more accurate and with a lot of zip on it. And he hasn't been throwing those sinkers, those 95 mile an hour sinkers to Rizzo at first base this spring. So that's really encouraging defensively. We know the range is as good as anybody in baseball. I mean, it's documented. It passes the eye test. Everything you want in a shortstop. I mean, you have an all-star shortstop in Baez playing second as well. But Russell is damn good and as good as anybody when it comes to range. The hitting is there. You know, he's starting to pull the ball. He's getting bigger and stronger. And we know the 21 home runs and 95 RBIs were there in 2016. Last year was just kind of a train wreck for him off the field and on the field, including, you know, the 5 weeks that he missed with the plantar fasciitis. So from all that, he has looked great this spring. He's been attentive. I saw him talk to four different media people 2 days ago, one after another. A very polite guy, you know, always, always ready to accommodate. And I think he's going to have a great year. I look at the Cubs as a sleeping giant. And when people hear that, they might say, well, you know, they're picked to win. They have good players. But I think, you know, you can go position by position, and I think you can get 20 to 25 homers of every single position out there going into the season. I think Russell is one of them that's going to come back and hit with more authority.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I think that the Cubs are set for a great year, and, you know, having the chance to go out there and look at that team, the depth of that roster is so impressive, and you start looking at all the guys that can play different positions and the depth of the pitching, the starting pitching. You know, if you're wondering about anything, I suppose it's the bullpen, but they got a lot of options there too. I mean, it's a really well put together team that's poised to make a huge run, and it wouldn't surprise anyone to see them in the World Series, in the winning the World Series, in the championship game yet again. I mean, that's the level of talent.
You know, Justin Wilson is the wild card for the Cubs because, you know, the Morrow situation is, I'm sure they're going to watch him, and he's got a electric stuff, but the injury factor has been there most of his career. They'd like to be able to have a different guy close some games out, and Wilson with his past history is the guy that should be able to do it. He had a little bit of a rough one yesterday, but he's been striking out people here. He's the guy that can make a huge difference in the bullpen. So watch him coming out of spring training here in the next 10 days. Watch how Joe uses him and see if he is closer 1A when Morrow needs a rest. I think that would be huge for the Cubs.
And they can still make a move if they want to, right? They've got money. Sure. They've got everything. I mean, they can do whatever they need to do if indeed they feel they have a problem later on.
Well, you know, Holland is still out there. I don't know who's going to take him up on it. 43 saves, led the National League last year, and he's not getting a sniff after turning down that $45 million from Colorado, where Wade Davis stepped up and took his money from him. Somebody's going to sign him.
The Cubs have, what, $6 or $8 million somewhere in there left over before they get into luxury tax, right?
And Brian, when you say that, it's true. But you probably want to save it for the trading deadline,
right,
don't you?
Right,
you don't
right.
To, you don't
that's
want to spend
that,
it all
that,
now.
That's my point. One, I don't know that he's taking an $8 million one-year pillow deal. And two, I don't know that you want to do that before you even give Morrow a chance to show what he can do.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, again, Holland, 43 saves, the bulk of his work was done at the beginning of the year where he was overused. I think he had 15 saves before June last year, he wasn't quite as effective in the second half, but, you know, another experienced arm out there. But you're right, you know, you don't want to just shoot your whole wad, you know, with $7 or $8 million to a closer for a one-year deal. And they're fortified. Cishek is a very, very excellent bullpen guy. He can close games out. You have a bunch of veteran guys out there. You have young veterans that are still not even there yet, like CJ, Edwards. He's still developing, and he had a great year last year. It was kind of tainted at the end because of the way he imploded in the playoffs, but he is still somebody that has great stuff and continues to get better.
All right, Bruce, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Guys, have a great day.
You too, Bruce. Thank you.
That's our guy, Bruce Levine, in Arizona, covering all teams. And we're going to wait for transition. We got to talk to Dan Bernstein. He wrote a good thing today about the rules changes in baseball. We'll get into that. We got to ask him about Loyola.
I thought he wrote something apologizing for the...
Well, we'll try to get a public apology out of him. I don't know what else to do. Just before the game starts. Just for karma. For karma's sake. Molly and Hanley on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.